God's amazing grace sent down from heaven, rescued me from death and from shame, opened up my eyes and brought salvation. Now I'm His, praise His holy name. Now I know, that He is mine, and I'm His forever. He is leading me along life's way. He'll be holding to my hand when I cross death's river. He will take the sting of death away. 'Tis so sweet just to know I have Jesus with me. He will keep me from sin and from strife. He delivered me from condemnation. Now I have eternal life. Now I know that He is mine, and I'm His forever. He is leading me along life's way. He'll be holding to my hand when I cross death's river. He will take the sting of death away. Now I know that He is mine, and I'm His forever. He is leading me along life's way. He'll be holding to my hand when I cross death's river. He will take the sting of death away. He will take the sting of death all away.
It has honestly been our privilege to be here. We love you all so much and thank the Lord for you. And I'm so thankful that the Lord would allow us this time and let us see each other. I'm thankful for the meal yesterday. It was so wonderful. And thank you for doing this. Putting on these things is not easy. And we now know that. And it's just such a blessing for us to be here. I have enjoyed every component of this. The scripture reading just made me wish I was preaching from Psalm 115. All you have to do is say Psalm 115. I say, amen. Not unto us, unto Him. He's sitting in the heavens doing whatever He wants to do. That's a blessing to me, and I'm just grateful. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, every time I read this line, I'm thankful to be preaching from this line. If you look with me at the very last line of verse 11, Colossians chapter 3, the very last line of verse 11 says, Christ is all and in all. If there was a final word to end a meeting on, to end a life on, and to go into glory with, it would be Christ is all and in all. Christ is everything. When we say Christ is all, what we're saying is Christ is everything. He's everything. And He's the reason for everything. He is the accomplishment of everything, and He is the reason for everything concerning God's people. And that's what I want us to enter into. That's really all I want us to enter into. That Christ is everything. And He has accomplished everything. I want us to look at His work and what He accomplished in it. In everything that He did it all. Christ is all. And in all. I just want us to consider what He accomplished and all that He accomplished in what He accomplished. What He did and what He accomplished in what He did. His work. His work. Don't you love just thinking on His work? His work. His accomplishment. There was a man, I've mentioned this quite a few times, and I'll probably mention it quite a few more times. I just love this. But there was a man who lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s, named John Wilbur Chapman. Actually, I'm assuming John. It's J period. J. Wilbur Chapman. I like to think it's John because I love John Chapman. But he wrote a song, and we sing it in our hymnal. And every time I think about the words of this song, I think two things. Number one, I think, I believe this man knew the gospel. Some songs that we sing in our hymnals, most of them have at least one line I would love to change. But when I read and think about the words of this song, I think, I believe that man knew the gospel. I really do. And I also think that I don't believe that the work of Christ could be more clearly explained than the Lord allowed this man to explain it in the song. Just so clearly set forth. The song is called One Day. One Day. And in the chorus, Mr. Chapman wrote, "Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sin far away. Rising, He justified. Freely, forever, one day He's coming. Oh, glorious day." That was Christ's work, and that's what He accomplished in His work. That was the work given to Him, and that's what He accomplished in that work. Now, in those lines, Mr. Chapman told us, Christ was all. He was all, and Christ was in all. He did it all. He was the reason for it all. From the Scriptures, I want to see that. And I want to enter into Christ's doing and His accomplishment by using that song as our outline. Okay, we're going to use the lines of that song for the outline of our message here. It starts with, this is what our Lord was doing in accomplishing the work that the Father gave to us. When the Father sent Him here, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Came with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in what He was doing and accomplishing as He walked this earth for us, you think about the fact that the Lord walked this earth for 33 and a half years. 33 and a half years. Isn't it amazing to you that the only thing that is mentioned of him is his birth? 8 days old? Some moments right in the beginning. A moment when he was 12 years old. And then it picks up with 30 years old. 30 years he walked this earth. Nothing really is recorded of it. What was he doing? Why? What was the purpose of that? His ministry, his revealing who he was, that was for 3.5 years. God, in his sovereign will and his sovereign purpose and his perfect design, sent the Lord Jesus Christ here to live. That's what he was doing. He was living for his people. We ruined it. The Apostle Paul said, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" We're walking dead men and women, spiritually speaking. But he was living. And in him living, he loved us. Living, he was loving his people. And I want us to see that from the Scripture. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 5 says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And I like to just, the word Selah means just pause and think about that for a minute. That deserves a pause. Just what blessed people. What a thing to be said about a sinner. How amazing is it that that verse is in the Scripture? That's just him, in him, of his own will. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Look with me, if you would, at verse 32. John 11, verse 32. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the Lord Jesus Christ wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. Behold, how he loved him." Can't you envision them standing around watching him? There he is standing at this tomb. It doesn't say he cried. It says he wept. To the point that everybody standing there was watching this, saying, "Behold, how he loved him." He loved him. He loved them. He loves all of his people. Every soul the Father gave to him. He loves all of his people. Look with me at John chapter 13. Verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." That's what he did while he was in the world. He loved his own to the end. Loved them to the end. Verse 23 right here says, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." Who was that? John, the one who penned this. We always think of his humility. We say John was so humble, he wouldn't even say his own name, writing about himself. The one leaning on his bosom, whom Jesus loved. We think about his humility, and he was, but think about the boldness of that statement. That man was coming boldly. He said, I know he loved me. The one was leaning on his bosom, whom Jesus loved. I know he loved me. He proved it to me. And can't we say the same thing? John said, he told me, he proved it to me, he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me from his own word, I'm his own. He has proved it to me. He said, I know he loves me. Can't God's people say that in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ? I know he loves me. Verse 34, right here in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another as I have loved you, he said. Now don't turn to these, just listen. But Romans 8 verse 37 says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We've been made to be conquerors all because he loved us. His love was the reason for it all. Love was the accomplishment of it all. The reason and the accomplishment. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Loved me and proved it to me. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. That was the reason for his mercy. Why did God have mercy on us? He loved us. In Christ he loved us. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Revelation 1:5 says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He loved us. He has told us and told us and told us and told us. He loved us. Living, he loved us. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. Greater love had no man. No man. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All because of our Lord Jesus Christ. All because of his love. The Father choosing us was all because of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 42, the Father said, Christ is my elect. We looked at that yesterday. Christ is my elect. I choose him. In Ephesians 1, he said, I have chosen you in him. All because of him. He was the accomplisher of love. He was the reason for love. Living, he loved us. That's a beautiful announcement, isn't it? That's a beautiful message. Living, he loved us. All right, Mr. Chapman in his song went on to say, dying, he saved us. Now, I'm so thankful that my message is not, don't you want to be saved? Don't you think maybe you ought to do something about it? Don't you think maybe it's time that you... I'm so glad that's not my message. This is the message. Dying, he saved us. Saved. Saved. God is going to cause all of his people to believe that. They're just going to believe it. He saved us. There's another song I love so much. It says, "Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." How's he going to do that? He is going to suffer, suffer, suffer like no man has ever suffered. Marred more than any man. Enduring the absolute wrath and judgment of God. Separation from the Father, crying, "Why have you forsaken me?" It's because that's what I deserved. That's what had to come to me. God had to forsake me, and God did forsake me in him. The horrible death that he suffered. He suffered and he died under the judgment and penalty of God for his people. The song I just quoted goes on to say, "Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading who were blind and unheeding. But he was dying for me." Christ was all in our salvation. Christ was all in the love of God toward us. And Christ was all in our salvation from our sins. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1, it says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." He by himself saved us. Purged our sins. By himself he satisfied everything. Everything. By his own blood, he obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal. When he by himself alone suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary, when he did that, there's a song that says, "A ransom was found." Yes, a ransom was found, a payment. Love paid the price on Calvary's mount. Judgment was met, the law satisfied, and mercy was born when a ransom was found. I love that last line. It says, "Mercy was born," right there. Where did mercy come from? Right there on the cross of Calvary. When that payment was made and the ransom was found, mercy was born. There's one reason only for our forgiveness and our redemption with the Father, and that reason is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ's sake. That's what Ephesians 4 tells us. It's all for Christ's sake. As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When it comes to the accomplishment of our forgiveness, our redemption, our salvation, Christ is all and in all of it. He's all in it and he's in all of it. Living, he loved us. Dying, he saved us. Buried, he carried our sins far away. I love the thought of this. You know the story in the Old Testament of the scapegoat. That symbolically, that was a picture, symbolically, of the sins of God's people being taken away from them, never to return again. All of us, you know, the Lord has given us faith to believe His Word. In Christ, we're saved, we're purged, we're cleansed, we're washed. But then we look at this flesh and we think, I still see sin. I still see sin. And I believe He's forgiven me in the blood, but I still see sin. Well, the reason we still see sin is because He took all of our sins from the cradle to the grave, and we haven't made it to the grave yet. There's sin we still have to carry out that He paid for. Many people believe, well, when the Lord opens your eyes and saves you, He paid from that point back, but now this is on you. Not so. He paid for all of it, even the horrible sin that I will still commit against Him. But according to the word of the Lord, when He went into that tomb, when He bowed His head and gave up the ghost, and they pulled Him off of that cross, and they put Him into that tomb, and they sealed the door, and He was in there for 3 days. This is what He was doing in there. He was taking our sins away. He took our sins to the grave. Not only did He save us, He sanctified us. Not only did He spare us, He washed us. Not only did He deliver us from judgment, but He rid us of what brought the judgment on us in the first place. 10-15 years ago, whenever it was, you remember we had this huge oil spill in the Gulf. And on the news, it was showing the cleanup efforts. They had this massive cleanup effort to clean up all this oil that had spilled. And you probably remember seeing these little birds covered in oil, and they stuck in it. They couldn't fly out of it. They're just covered in oil, flapping, and couldn't go anywhere. So, you know, they had this rescue effort, and they'd go around in their boats and they'd scoop up these birds and pull them out of that oil. But that's not all that they did. After they delivered them from what was bringing death to them, they took them back to their lab or their whatever it was, and they washed all that oil off of them. They delivered them from the judgment they were in, and then they cleansed them from what had them there in the first place. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for His people. Not only did He spare them, but He has cleansed them. Every spot, every stain, white as snow, as He is, so are we right now in this world. When He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says He was so white, so bright and white, no fuller could make anything that white. I assume a fuller is somebody who makes things white. White, white as snow. He saved us from death, and He removed from us what was bringing us into death. Living, He loved us. Dying, He saved us. Buried, He carried our sins far away. Our Lord, the thought every time Acts chapter 8 says, talks about Him being led as a sheep to the slaughter. You know, Philip was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, and it says, in His humiliation. Aren't you so humiliated for the things that you've done? He bore that humiliation. When He bore that sin, He bore the guilt of the sin. He bore the ownership of the sin. He stood before God in absolute humiliation, bearing not only my terrible sins, but the sins of all of His people. He took all of that sin and he said, I'm putting it away. I'm putting it away. It's going to be gone. Buried, he carried our sins so far away, they are gone, never to return again. This right here, I love this scripture. I love this so much. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50, verse 20 says, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. They are gone. They are gone. In Christ, because of Christ alone, our sins are all taken away, away. Our sins are all taken away, never to be found again. Buried, he carried our sins far away. That's what he was doing in that tomb. That's what he was accomplishing. And then 3 days later, rising, he justified freely forever. Justified forever. But what if I sin again? That's already been paid with and put away. Justified forever. That's what he did. That's what he accomplished. His work was to rise from the grave. And what he accomplished in that work is he justified his people freely forever. With the sin being gone, the Father said, accepted. Well done. Not only to Christ, but to every soul in Christ. Well done. And all of God's people cry to Jesus Christ, well done, worthy is the Lamb. I just love the thought of God the Father pouring His all on the Lord Jesus Christ and His people pouring their all on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything from all sides crying, well done, worthy is the Lamb. Every soul in the Lamb is worthy with Him. He is justified, and they are justified in Him. And it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Christ is all in our justification before God. All of it. Turn with me to Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That's saying the law was given so all of us could know we've broken the law. If they do not post a speed limit sign, you'll have no idea whether you're breaking the speed limit or not. It's the whole reason for posting the sign. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. That's a person. God's righteousness is a person who was manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That means a bloody victim. Through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So where's boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No. By the law of faith, just looking to Christ. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. What that means is, Christ is all. In all, Christ alone. What He did alone. We're justified freely through grace in Him. The grace and mercy that came through His blood. All because of Him. Every bit of it. Living, He loved us. Dying, He saved us. Buried, He carried our sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. Now one day, He is coming. One day soon. Either He will come in that day to gather all of us together, or He will come individually, one by one. We just had a dear, precious brother called home last Wednesday. And every time a brother or sister is taken, you just have a moment where you're in awe, thinking, I wonder what they're experiencing right now. We think we know. But eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart and imagination of a man what God has prepared for them that love Him. But one day He is coming. He is coming. And He's going to gather all those who He was made to be all for. All those who cry in sincere truth, those who have been given faith to believe and to truly cry, Christ is my all. Christ is our all. He's the only thing we're holding to. Christ is all of our comfort. He is all of our joy. He is all of our hope. He's all of our salvation. He's all that we're looking to. He's all that we're waiting for. What is heaven to God's people? It's Christ. He's all our desire. He's all. One day soon, He is coming back for all of His people. All that He accomplished His work for. And it's going to be a glorious day. I know that you know these verses well, but turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4:13, it says, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and that's not just if we believe that He died and that He rose again, but if we believe why He died and what He accomplished in it. If we believe who it was who died and the fullness of what he has declared he accomplished in his death and resurrection, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I tell the people in Kingsport a lot, but I used to worry that I would miss his return. I used to worry that I wouldn't be one of the ones standing on the earth when he comes back. But then I realized, no, none of God's people are going to miss his return. He's bringing all souls back with him. Okay, all of us, if we go, we're going to come back. Verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All souls who have gone to be with him and we buried them in the ground, they're going to come back first. Then, verse 17 says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is that not amazing? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Mr. Chapman wrote in that song, one day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Lord Jesus is mine. How amazing. How amazing. Living, he loved us. Dying, he saved us. Buried, he carried our sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Christ is all and in all. And we're going to cry that for all eternity. Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. All of it was by him, through him, to him. Christ is all. Now, I want to leave you with this. This is a little poem that I read every now and then. And this is so good. I don't know who wrote this, but it's so good. There is a holy God that I cannot please, but Christ did. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. There is a holy law that I cannot keep, but Christ did. He said, I finished the work you gave me to do. There is a perfect righteousness that I cannot earn, but Christ did. He's the end of the law for righteousness. There is a convicting record of sin that I cannot erase, but Christ did. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There is a great judgment that I cannot endure, but Christ did. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there is an eternal death that I cannot rise from, but Christ did. And if he has been made to be my all and in all, he'll raise me up with him at the last day. Amen. Thank you, Dad.